The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You're listening to Sci-Fi Wire's 22 Days of Marvel. On today's episode, we're talking about Thor Ragnarok. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, and welcome to Sci-Fi Wire's 22 Days of Marvel podcast. I'm today's moderator, Caitlin Bush. On this podcast, we are counting down to the release of Avengers Endgame by revisiting all of the movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, one day at a time. Each day, we tackle a different movie, re-explore the plot, call out the best scenes and dialogue, and most importantly, track all the connections across these 22 movies and what clues give us a hint to what happens in Avengers Endgame. And finally, what makes this podcast most exciting? Its hosts. We're all massive fans of the MCU at Sci-Fi Wire, so this podcast will be hosted by a rotating cast of Sci-Fi Wire staff. Let's jump right in with today's co-hosts, Jordan Zacharin and Matt Romano. Hey, guys.
Hello.
So, before we get into it, we are going to introduce Warvis, who, if for some reason you haven't been listening to this podcast up until this point, is our Janky Jarvis.
Your mom's a Janky Jarvis.
He's going to give you our last time on the MCU. So, Warvis, take it away.
It's been 2 years since the Battle of Sokovia in Avengers Age of Ultron. The most important characters to track for Thor Ragnarok are, of course, Thor, who has since been imprisoned by the fire demon Sorter, and Bruce Banner, who departed after the events of Age of Ultron in a Quinjet after not being willing to endanger Romanoff any longer. Who knows where he departed to?
So, jumping into Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
We start with none other than the God of Thunder himself in a mysterious cave. He's in chains, monologuing at a skeleton.
I don't know what you're thinking. Oh no, Thor's in a cage. How did this happen?
He tells us that he's been on the search for more Infinity Stones and happened across a path of death and destruction that led him here, where he's been captured. But that's exactly what he wants because it puts him face to Big Eyebrow with Surta, a giant-ass fire demon who's destined to bring about Ragnarok, a.k.a. the end of Asgard. We learn that if Surta's crown is placed in the Eternal Flame, which is conveniently kept in Odin's vault on Asgard, that Surta will grow as big as a mountain and destroy Asgard. Naturally, Thor's got to stop him, and we get the first big throwdown of this movie, backed by Zeppelin's Immigrant Song.
You have made a grave mistake, Odin's son.
I make grave mistakes all the time.
Everything seems to work out.
I'm just glad that they didn't like use the chorus every single time. They waited, you know?
Yeah.
So at least they use a little bit of it each time.
They build up to it.
And I love that this scene was so good that it just spawned this whole internet meme of everyone just putting Immigrant Song on things.
On everything. It makes everything better.
And it makes everything better. It always works.
I think what's great about this scene is that, you know, obviously the first two Thors, I did the second Thor podcast.
The Dark World.
Yes. And, you know, they have mixed reputations, right? Especially for the second one.
Yeah.
But the third one, and it's Taika Waititi, so obviously going into it, you kind of expect something different.
Yes.
Thor's given this monologue, which is funny enough, and then it pans to the skeleton.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is going to be something different right away.
Immediately away, they set the tone of, oh, strap in.
Yes. And this is, if I remember, this is the first time we see Thor since Ultron.
Yeah.
So like so I love that they start this movie with the recap of just what he's been doing, because now it's been a few movies, and we all know what happens in Ultron and that weird scene when he's in the water and sees the vision. Yeah, so he's
busy, adventuring around.
Yeah,
we're here now. So with this fight, there's fire demons, a dragon, and Thor just kicks some ass. He steals Surta's crown and after some cajoling manages to get Heimdall to open the Bifrost, except it's not Heimdall. It's Scourge, who's taken up the Guardian job with his collection of AK-47s and shake weights.
And he's like my favorite character in this movie. How great is Carl Urban in this movie?
He
was made to play this role.
It was really good.
It's almost, this movie is so much fun with so many, and like we talk about later, the casting is so great and they bring in so many great people. You wish they could have just spun off its own universe and not have to have Thor come back from Infinity War.
I love
him in Infinity War, but you're like, I want to see more of this world with these people.
Well, that's why I would hope that the next Thor movie, if there's another one, we don't know,
right,
is, you know, of this same caliber.
Well, and it's like, James Gunn kind of blew open the door with like the cosmic realm of Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. I love how this movie is now a hybrid of the Thor franchise and that, yeah. You know, like
yes.
It's just an extension of that universe. And yeah, I want to see more cosmic Marvel
yes.
soon.
Insanity.
Except no Doctor Strange. Get rid of him.
Yes.
Doctor Strange is good.
No.
No.
Oh, but no, but I'm going to say, wait, let me finish my thought. Doctor Strange is good when he's just showing up in other people's movies.
Okay. Like at the beginning of this movie.
Right, in the beginning of this movie. Right, not to jump ahead of Caitlin's. Sure,
good thing
we'll
to bring
there.
Up. We'll yeah. get there. So Thor's surprised to find Scourge manning the Bifrost, but he has more pressing issues at the moment because he learned from Surtur that Odin isn't on Asgard. But the last time Thor checked, Odin was very much on Asgard. So Thor flies off to the palace and comes across Odin in his bathrobe, eating grapes, and watching a play entitled The Tragedy of Loki, while a giant golden statue of Loki looms in the background.
With Matt Damon.
With Matt yes. Damon in this play.
Sorry for all I've done. Shh. It's all right. Hold on. I'm sorry. I tried to rule Earth.
They'd be lucky to have you.
I'm sorry about that. Thing with the Tesseract. I just couldn't help myself. I know. I'm a trickster.
Yes.
So mischievous.
And the other Hemsworth.
And the third Hemsworth brother.
Right.
And Sam Neill. So after a bit of banter, Thor's able to get Loki, who's taken Odin's form and been posing as the king of Asgard, to admit what he's done. He sent a confused, kind of senile Odin to Earth so that Loki can be king instead, which is, you know, horrible. In other Thor movies, it seems like this would definitely be the entire plot of the movie. Loki has taken over Asgard. He's sent Odin somewhere and banished him and fooled the entire Asgardian population into thinking that he's the king. That's kind of a plot in and of itself, uncovering this, but we kind of gloss over that.
Maybe that's how we got Trump. They sent like a man with dementia from another planet or another realm here to be leader.
I think, well, not to get into politics, I think Trump's more of a Men in Black situation.
Okay.
Like, there's just a tiny alien inside him.
Jesus.
So instead of making too big of a deal of it, Thor grabs Loki and takes him to Earth so Loki can show him where Odin is. But the retirement home, which I believe is called Shady Acres, that Loki left him at in New York City, is gone. As the two start to debate on how to find Odin, a ring of magic appears around Loki and he disappears, a business card with an address on it appearing in his place. This address leads Thor to the quote-unquote wizard, Dr. Stephen Strange, and the Sanctum Sanctorum, where Dr. Strange helps Loki Thor find Odin, as you mentioned.
Yes, yeah. So now I could say that Dr. Strange, in small doses with other characters, is the best Dr. Strange.
It's kind of funny that he has this, like, secret magic cave just in the middle of the village.
Yeah.
You know, like in the middle of New York City.
I mean, isn't that so New York, though?
It's so creepy. It's so creepy. Like, I hope.
Especially the village.
No one goes back there with him.
Especially in the village.
Jesus. No.
So eventually, Strange gives Thor Loki back. He falls, you know, flat on his face. One of the best lines.
I have been falling for 30 minutes.
But Thor and Loki find Odin standing on a Scandinavian cliff, reminiscing about his life and his many, 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 many mistakes. It's a touching scene until Odin reveals the plot of the movie, that Thor's older sister Hela, goddess of death, will return upon Odin's death to wreak destruction on the universe and take the Asgardian throne. And, conveniently enough, Odin is dying right now.
She's hella evil.
She's hella evil.
Hella, oh, wow. Never made that connection.
It wasn't even in my notes. It just came to me right now.
That's why you do what you do, Jonah.
Yep, that's why I'm on some of your podcasts.
Some.
Odin dies right there on the cliff, and moments later, a portal opens up, and out steps Hela, played by the truly wonderful Cate Blanchett.
Again, how did they get her? How great is this?
I would let her murder me any day of the week. I'm not going to lie. She's terrifying.
With her knife crown?
With her knife crown! Yeah. Like her horns.
She seems up for doing weird stuff. Like, she's done, like, a lot of, like, you know, fine art and weird stuff like that, but... God.
I think she's a nerd. I think she's just a giant nerd who really likes being dramatic.
Kaika might have pitched in a very fun way to her.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just like every agent's like, look, you got to do some Marvel movie.
Right.
You got to do one.
No, this is the one right now.
Options. Exactly. Yeah. I'm pretty sure every actor in Hollywood's like, I just need to get my Marvel character.
Yeah, right.
Cross that off the resume.
Yeah.
But she is having so much fun in this role.
Yes.
I mean, she's like, she's chewing up all the scenery. She looks great in the costume.
It's wonderful. Like, Thor throws Mjolnir at her, and even in her weakened state, she's powerful enough to catch it and destroy it and crush it into a million tiny little sad hammer pieces.
It's not possible.
Darling,
You have no idea what's possible.
Terrified, Loki calls on the Bifrost to escape, but Hela comes with them. They scuffle and she knocks both brothers out of the Bifrost to God knows where, and she's the only one who ends up on Asgard, where she declares herself queen and single-handedly kills countless Asgardian soldiers and the Warriors Three.
So real quick on that, so when she destroys the hammer, I mean, this was something that I think the trailers did a lot. Like, the trailers ruined a lot of the best moments of this movie.
That's true. They gave a lot away.
I mean, it didn't hurt the movie. The movie's still excellent. But that's one thing I wish they would have just left out of the trailers.
That would be such a gasp moment. Yeah. Can you imagine seeing that in
like,
real time?
Destroy his hammer? Like, that's a big deal.
During all of this, Hela employs Scourge as her executioner and wakes the army of the dead and her giant demon wolf, Fenris, from the hidden crypts below Asgard's palace. Meanwhile, Thor's ended up on a garbage planet that we'll eventually learn is called Sakaar, where he is captured by a drunken bounty hunter named Scrapper 142, played by Tessa Thompson. She delivers Thor, hammerless and sad and alone, to the Grandmaster, who's played by Jeff Goldblum, who is fantastic.
I mean, we should just pause right there and just talk about, I mean, out of everyone in this cast, like, he's the standout for
this,
me.
This whole, I mean, between Kate Blanchett, Jeff Goldblum, I mean, obviously, we also have Anthony Hopkins, who's been in the Thor movies for a while, but just, like, this cast is next level.
Yeah. The way he played this role, the Grandmaster role, reminds me of when he was in Life Aquatic, and he's like, besides, I'm half gay. And, like, he sits the same way, like, it's the most Goldblum-y Goldblum delivery possible.
Yeah, well, and, I mean, as I was watching this movie and doing the notes for this podcast, like, my list of best scenes is, like, a mile long, which we'll get to later.
It's this whole movie.
Yeah. But, yeah, but, like, not to jump ahead, but, like, one of the best scenes is when, like, he's kind of introducing Thor to the whole thing. Right. And there's that moment where he's talking about time in Sakaar. He's like, how it moves more slowly. And he's like, does that real awkward pause. And that doesn't make any sense.
No. You think he's going to say something more, but then he just kind of smiles.
It just kind of sits on it, and you're like, wait, what? And then the movie just moves on, but it's like moments like that, that like the comedy from the timing.
Well, this whole movie flips the whole idea of hero and villain on its head, not in the sense that, well, we know who's good and who's bad, but the villains are so charismatic, and you like them, and
you want
Grandmaster to like turn it around at some point. You want to be like, all right, you're going to pull a Loki maybe and be a good guy, but also makes him scarier. You know, he like hates the word slave, but he will enslave anyone.
But the arena's mainframe for the obedience discs have been deactivated and the slaves have armed themselves.
I don't like that word.
Which, mainframe?
No, why would I not like mainframe? No, the yes word.
Sorry, the prisoners with jobs have armed themselves.
Right? Kate Blanchett is so evil, but she's also very charismatic. And Thor and then Valkyrie, who is the, you know, Tessa Thompson character, they are so dopey the entire time. This whole movie spends every single scene it can undercutting them.
Yes.
Whether it's like throwing balls against the wall and smacking themselves or just fighting over who can, you know,
shoot
better.
Falling off the ramp while drunk.
It's absolutely, like, they just destroy these heroes and undermine them while making them dopey while making the villain just so charismatic.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and so Jeff Goldblum, he's weird and terrifying and perfect, and he explains to Thor that Thor is now going to have the opportunity to fight in a gladiator-style showdown against his champion. As Thor is being held hostage and such, he learns that Loki also ended up on Sakaar, but because it's Loki, he's managed to get in good with the Grandmaster and already made a name for himself there because Loki. Thor makes some friends. Shout out to Korg, voiced by director Taika Waititi.
Oh, well, I tried to start a revolution, but didn't print enough pamphlets, so hardly anyone turned up, except for my mum and her boyfriend, who I hate.
You got to remember to print those pamphlets.
I love no matter how far you go in the universe, there's just things that are the same.
Thor learns that Scrapper 142, on top of meeting Korg, learns that this woman that he's met is actually a legendary Valkyrie warrior, but more on that later. He eventually ends up in the Grandmaster's Coliseum, where he goes up against the champion, who turns out to be none other than his old buddy and fellow Avenger, the Hulk.
Yes!
Who disappeared in a Quinjet at the end of Avengers Age of Ultron and hasn't been seen since.
We know each other! He's a friend from work!
Turns out Hulk somehow ended up on Sakaar, and now Thor and Hulk have to fight. But Thor is so happy to see his friend that he gets the snot kicked out of him for a bit, especially given that he's hammerless.
Right.
He loses.
And I'm so happy that they made light of the Age of Ultron stuff with Black Widow and the sun's getting real low.
Because that was so dumb.
But then they bring it back and it just doesn't work. And
Hulk
knocks him out.
His smile while he's doing it, too. Yeah. It's just, oh, my God. But Thor loses and wakes up in the Hulk's rooms later and tries to convince Hulk that they need to get off Sakaar so Thor can go save Asgard from Hela, who's still out there causing destruction and killing his people. Hulk doesn't really want to leave, but he shows Thor where he can find the Quinjet. And they find a recording of Natasha Romanoff begging him to come back.
There you go.
He destroys the Quinjet and transforms.
Another great, great
That's
scene.
The thing. Like, you know, Hulk is bouncing the ball against the wall, right? Like, he's like a child. And even when he tries to do good, he just can't help himself. All of the heroes just keep messing up in, like, the goofiest ways possible.
Yeah.
And he's, like, running through the Quinjet, like, friend, don't leave, friend. And he's just wrecking the whole thing.
So sad.
It's beautiful.
But during all of that, he transforms unwillingly back into Bruce Banner. And poor Bruce, he's got no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it's been 3 years, they say.
Yeah. He tells Thor,
I mean, in the past, I always felt like Hulk and I each had a hand on the wheel. But this time, it's like he had the keys of the car and I was locked in the trunk.
I know that feeling, buddy.
Every day of my life.
Well, and it's great because in that 2 years, like, Hulk finally learned to speak.
Yeah. Right.
Like, which is like, finally.
Thor calms Bruce down a little bit and the pair agrees to try and get off this dang trash planet. At this point, though, the Grandmaster has realized that his beloved champion is gone, and he employs Scrapper 142 and Loki to hunt Hulk and Thor down and bring them back. It's here where we learn Scrapper 142 isn't just a Valkyrie, but the last of the Valkyrie, and that her sisters were killed by Hela. That's how she ended up on Sakaar as an irritable, drunken bounty hunter. We learn all this via Loki invading her mind, and as revenge, she knocks him out and hogties him in a room, which he 100% deserves. Valkyrie finds Thor and Bruce wandering the Sakaarian streets. She leads them to where she has Loki tied up, and the four of them agree to steal one of Grandmaster's ships in order to go through the Devil's Anus, which will lead them back to Asgard.
I thought it was the ACE train.
That's a New York joke for people who don't live in New York. they set the other prisoners free, including Korg, so he can lead the newly rebirth revolution, and they set out to escape.
And on the ship, they activate the Grandmaster's
It's My Birthday
song, which is like all the fireworks coming out of it.
It's also like, his pleasure yacht.
Yeah, his pleasure yacht. Yeah.
Definitely orgies.
Exactly.
Absolutely. He doesn't seem to like be that concerned with them escaping, though. Like, he won't be happy, but it's not like the big deal to him.
Yeah.
Of course, though, during all of this, Loki betrays them.
Yeah, obviously.
Even after his and Thor's wonderful elevator heart-to-heart. But at this point, Thor knows his brother well enough and is clever enough and has anticipated the betrayal.
What about the get help
thing?
Get help.
And their game of get help.
Yeah. Get help is so good.
So many in-jokes in this movie. And they always return. You know, there's always like a callback.
Yep.
The script, man. He stuns Loki and escapes with Bruce and Valkyrie. And the three of them make it to Asgard just in time because all this time, Hela has been hunting down Heimdall, played by the lovely Idris Elba, to get the sword back from him that opens up the Bifrost. Heimdall has been protecting it and the Asgardian people from Hela and doing a fantastic job, but he seems pretty happy to finally have some backup. Bruce transforms back into Hulk, not knowing if he'll ever come back, making the ultimate sacrifice. Valkyrie takes on the army of the undead, and Thor goes after Hela. By this point, Loki has arrived alongside the members of the Gladiator Revolution and brings a ship so the Asgardians can escape. It's a nice bit of redemption for Loki as he fully joins the side of good for a bit to help his people, even if he is, you know, super Loki.
The thing about like when he was being the ruler, he wasn't necessarily trying to hurt his people. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the difference between him and like so a true villain.
Yeah,
like he doesn't want to bring upon the end of days.
He's
he just wants to like
mischievous.
He just wants to rule.
Yeah,
you know, and he so like
just wants to eat grapes and watch plays about himself.
Plays about himself. Yeah, he's egotistical, but he's not evil.
I can relate to that type of villainy.
Sure.
Thor and Hela battle. Hela takes out one of Thor's eyes and she mocks him. And as she mocks him, what were you the god of again? Thor grasps with that insane internal power that we saw before and realizes that he doesn't need Mjolnir because he's the freaking god of thunder.
Yeah.
And he blasts Hela with the biggest lightning bolt we've ever seen from him.
Very sexual.
And how old?
Wow.
Yes, very.
It was.
I actually find lightning very sexual. I mean, it's basically just soldering with some lighting effects. So, yeah, that gets me going.
But how old is Thor that he didn't know?
I think he says
like, oh,
in
God
Infinity
of Thunder.
War.
I get it now.
Right?
Maybe he knew he was the God of Thunder, but he thought the hammer was the conduit to it.
Mm, right.
You know? Okay. But no
I
one
mean,
told
I think
him?
As you said, Odin tells him,
are you Thor, the God of Hammers?
Thor should have been like, this is information I could have used thousands of years
ago.
Yeah,
he's like 1,500 years old.
The moral of every Thor movie is that Odin sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
parent in the MCU pretty much sucks.
Yeah. Everyone's got daddy issues.
Does Aunt May count? Them. Aunt May's cool.
She doesn't count. She's not a parent.
All right.
Well. Well.
Plus, she's going to, like, bonk his mentor.
That's true.
This is true.
Yeah.
Right?
Endgame spoilers.
Well, I mean, I don't know that for sure. We're just an extended sex scene. Marissa Tomei and Robert Downey Jr. is an extended sex scene between the two of them. Like
that's
7 minutes.
Post-credit. That's the post credits.
It's like 7 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Thor has shot this fantastic lightning bolt at Hela, but it's still not enough because the problem is that Hela draws her power from Asgard. So how do you stop Hela? You destroy Asgard. And to do that, you look back at the beginning of this movie and you send Loki to fetch Surtur's crown from Odin's vault and place it in the Eternal Flame, which is also conveniently in Odin's vault. So after Loki places the giant eyebrow in the flames, Surtur rises and grows as big as a mountain and plunges his sword in the depths of Asgard just as our heroes are escaping with the Asgardian people on board the ship that Loki and the former gladiators brought with them. Asgard is destroyed, but that's okay because
Asgard is not a place. It's a people.
The Asgardians and their new king, Thor, and the rest of our heroes, Hulk, Valkyrie, Loki, and Heimdall, head to Earth to make a new life for themselves. The end. Or not.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We have to talk about the credit scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking up out at the space, and they're space. Like, oh, yeah, we're gonna head to Earth. And they're like, oh, what's that big thing?
And there's a giant shadow that falls over them. And we know in our heart of hearts that
Thanos
has come to make us all cry.
The stone stuff has always been my least favorite part of the Marvel movies.
Really?
Like, I don't care about any of the Infinity Stones. Mm. I can't even tell you what they are. I mean, I'm sure I could.
We've tried before, though, and
they all look the same, and they all do pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
More or less. They're like, you go through space or time.
I think I said in another podcast, it's just like every Infinity Stone gives you the ability to punch harder.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah. Just in a slightly different way.
Like,
I feel like it's an Eevee, like the Pokemon Eevee, and then you put all of like the stones with her, and she's just like a slightly different version of herself.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's just like colorful MacGuffins, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
So
they work.
I'm not interested.
Yeah. Okay. So the second post-credit scene.
Second post-credit scene with our boy
is
the Grandmaster.
The Grandmaster.
Which, thank God, he survived, because he's got to come back.
But does he survive the snap?
Also, he's kind of getting his just desserts in this scene, though, too. We don't know if he survived.
I write, what's the line? It's like, okay.
Can't have a revolution without somebody to overthrow, so you're welcome. And it's a tie.
Yeah, basically he's saying to all the people that are like, you know, throwing a revolution, Korg seems to have been, Korg's on the ship now.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's definitely a revolution going on, and Grandmaster's like, you know, he's cornered. Yep. And he's like, you know, I did a big part, played a big part in this because you need someone to revolt against.
Right.
So you're welcome.
You're welcome.
It's a tie. And you just kind of know that he's going to end up okay.
Yeah.
Because they all look like kind of shocked. You know, it feels like they all liked the Colosseum too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it seems like maybe he'll end up just being, you know, in charge again.
Yeah.
That's why everyone ends up.
Well, let me ask you this question. So one of the other great things that come out of the Thor franchise is the Daryl's Place. Not Daryl's Place. What is it?
The Thor at Home ones.
Yeah.
Like all of the little shorts. I think,
sure.
I mean, that's kind of inspired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, Warvis, what is the name of that series?
The series to which you are referring is called Team Thor.
Team Thor. Team Thor. And is that canon, Warvis?
Nah, bro. Team Thor is not canon.
Right. It is non-canon.
Non-canon.
Yeah,
that's too bad.
I guess we should get into the best scenes, which we already kind of touched on a little bit, but
yeah,
what's everyone's favorite scenes?
Oh, man. Who wants to start?
I like Thor hanging out with Hulk.
I'm not Banner's friend. I prefer you.
Banner's friend?
I don't even like Banner. I'm into numbers and science and stuff.
Thor, go.
Hulkster.
Or, you know, them arguing about, like, whether someone's the stupid Avenger or the cool Avenger.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah. Or Valkyrie Thor's chugging, yeah, like, an entire... Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Valkyrie's whole entrance is one of my favorite scenes. I mean, like...
Iconic.
What a badass introduction.
Thor walking into the electric field, getting electrocuted.
Yes.
And trying to be badass and leaving and just going... Yeah.
I love his whole thing about...
I think it's great that there is an elite force of women warriors. It's about time.
Like, he gives a thumbs up. All right. Cool, yeah, man.
And Thor keeps saying, like, oh, yeah, I hated Bruce Banner. He's smart. He likes science. Who cares? And then later on, he's like, oh, Bruce is a nerd. He's like, oh, like, Hulk is an idiot. You know, we love you.
You're the best Avenger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned it in your recap, but I love that moment when you just cut the Scourge with the shake weight.
Scourge? Is that important?
Yeah. Just like, that he's just been collecting all these, like, Earth novelties and, like, showing it off, trying to get laid with him. Like, it's amazing.
I wish that, I mean, this is not so much a scene, but, like, everything time I see Heimdall, I'm like, damn, I wish you had more to do in this movie,
yeah,
and this franchise.
Yeah.
Like, I know they killed him in Infinity War, right? And it's like, why? Yeah. Why just? I mean, he probably just had better things to do than be in bit parts as Heimdall.
I got a feeling, I mean, and we're going to do Endgame speculation later, but, like, that'll be reset. Heimdall will be back.
Either way, it's a stupid role,
yeah,
and a waste of his talents.
I mean, he was really good, I feel like, when they first started in Thor, but then he got popular, and so they started adding him more in each movie.
But even then, it's like a kind of a thankless, boring
role.
Oh,
it definitely is.
Oh, yeah, if you were starting from scratch with the MCU, I'm sure there'd be a better part for Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Without
a
doubt.
He'd be Odin.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I also love during that battle scene? Bruce Banner is in the jet with Valkyrie, and he's like, watch this. And he to the fight the giant wolf dog, and he jumps off and he just lands face first on the Rainbow Road.
Everything's gonna be all right now. I got this. You wanted to know who I am?
What the hell are you talking about?
You'll see.
It's like, you wanted to know who I am? And he just jumps out and dies.
The most anticlimactic. Yeah.
And Valkyrie's like,
He's down, and the dog's like, what? What do I do with this guy?
And he, like,
right,
kind of nudges at him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, then he becomes Hulk, and, you know, all's well, but it's just so great. This is every time you expect something badass to happen, the opposite happens in this movie.
Yes.
Which is what's so great.
Yes. Another great scene is when Thor and, oh God, Taika Waititi's Korg. Mm-hmm. Thor and Korg are picking out their weapons.
Yeah.
And that whole improvised scene when it's like, Korg's like, the hammer pulled you off. He's like, no, you don't understand.
Sounds like you had a pretty special and intimate relationship with this hammer, and that losing it was almost comparable to losing a loved one.
It's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, that's it. And he's like, oh, that's a really elegant way of putting that. Yeah, that's a great way. Great scene.
Or even just at the end when, what'd you call it? He thinks that he kills his buddy when he's carrying around. He's like, oh, he's not dead. Great.
Meek, you're alive. He's alive, guys. What was your question again, bro?
He's been really crestfallen about it.
Oh, no, man. He's dead. I stepped on him during the battle.
Oh, that's so good. I love just how British accents permeate the galaxy somehow.
Oh, absolutely.
In all space franchises.
In all space franchises. You're either American or you're English.
Yeah, that's like, really it.
Absolutely. I guess in Korg's case, New Zealander.
I mean, you can go real deep into that, what it means for imperialism and colonialism and all that, but we probably don't want to go there.
We probably don't want to go there. That's another podcast. Tune in next week.
The Fandom Files.
This is a good time to plug your podcast, Jordan. Yeah.
Also, fair. We got to note, Thor gets a haircut in this movie.
Oh,
I think it works
for
him.
Which is actually our cameo from Stan Lee, where he's the barber.
Yes.
Now don't you move. My hands aren't as steady as they used to be.
By Odin's beard, you shall not cut my hair, lest you feel the wrath of the mighty Thor. Please, kind sir, do not cut my hair.
Oh,
Even
right.
Barber
yes,
with all the blades.
That's right.
I think it works for him.
Yeah.
It does.
I think so, too.
I mean, he could do anything with it. He was a handsome man.
I mean, he's just like a handsome man, so he can do whatever he wants. But
I'm curious about the eye thing. He loses his eye, but it's not bloody at all. There's no socket there. Just kind of this black space.
Yeah.
It fills in.
It's almost like burned out
kind
of thing.
It's an Asgardian thing.
Yeah.
It's fine.
We don't have eye sockets. We just have eye sitting on top of our skin.
Asgardians do.
Well, you know, and then he gets the eye patch, which is very Odin of him.
Yes, yep.
So, and then, of course, the eye gets replaced by a creepy eye that Rocket gives him in Infinity War.
Right,
yeah.
That was probably up Rocket's asshole before.
Yeah.
it was put into Thor's head.
Just how Ant-Man was up Thanos' asshole.
Wow.
Wow, yeah. Making all the connections here with 22 Days of Marvel.
We keep finding a way to talk about the theory that Ant-Man's going to end up in Thanos' ass.
I'm just really mad that it didn't start with Sci-Fi Wire.
Yeah.
I'm legitimately upset.
But now you know for the future, that's the type of thinking we have to do.
I mean, it's the thinking that
this
we do already.
This is the,
already.
I was going to say, this is the thinking that Jordan is an expert in. Any more favorite lines in the movie that really stick out to you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because scenes and lines are like interchangeable in this movie. Because all my favorite scenes are like my favorite lines. Because like one best scene I had, but which can technically be a line, is when Thor's recounting the story of when Loki turned into a snake.
There was one time when we were children, he transformed himself into a snake, and he knows that I love snakes. So I went to pick up the snake to admire it, and he transformed back into himself, and he was like, yeah, it's me, and he stabbed me. We were 8 at the time.
Yeah, because I think that was also improvised. A lot of the best moments of this movie were improvised on set.
Yes.
And that story is like, he knew I was afraid of snakes, and then he turned into me.
Because he knows that I love snakes.
Yeah, so I love snakes.
And I love snakes, and so I picked up the snake to admire it.
What about the Revengers? That's, you know, them coming up with that line. And then, yeah. Which is funny in retrospect, because Captain Marvel is how they got the name, Avengers.
Very good.
Right, right.
I also just love, I'm not a queen or a monster.
I'm the goddess of death. What were you the god of again?
I think it's a lot about timing also, and just like the bickering too. I think all the undercutting stuff, like Hulk and Thor being like,
kind of both like fire.
But Hulk like real fire. Hulk like raging fire. Thor like smoldering fire.
Well, we're both kind of like fire.
Yeah,
Hulk like real fire.
Exchange is
fire.
Amazing.
Thor like smoldering. Like they're so petty.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. They're children.
Throughout the entire movie, everyone is so petty.
Well,
this is my favorite part.
And I feel like it all goes back to that moment with Thor and Hulk, at least, like to the moment in Avengers when he punches him.
Yep.
Like they've had this rivalry ever since.
I think Taika actually in an interview said that like that scene was one of the reasons why he wanted to do this movie in particular. Is because that scene between the two of them, it's so out of nowhere, it's so random, and it just kind of encapsulates everything about them, about Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, I mean, it brings up a good debate question. It's like, what's your favorite like pairing of characters in the MCU? And like Thor and Hulk might be the best in terms of comedy action.
I mean, even like the callbacks, right? Like between the two of them, when Thor's trying to get on the Quinjet, and he's like,
strongest Avenger.
Access denied.
Strongest Avenger.
Access denied.
Damn you, Stark.
Then Hulk gets on, Banner gets on later, and he goes,
voice activation required.
Banner.
Welcome, strongest Avenger.
What?
Yes. Yeah.
Like the amount of callbacks and like the pettiness of even those callbacks.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Or what about also one more line? When Hulk then goes to fight, the big bad, trying to create Ragnarok.
Oh yes.
And he's like,
Hulk, stop! Just for once in your life, don't smash. Big monster!
Big monster!
No!
It's so good.
I mean, we can go on forever. I got another one here. In the very, very beginning, you mentioned this before too, like it's like immediately in the beginning of the movie, they set a different tone.
Right.
And it's when he's talking to, I forget the name of that guy with the big...
Serta.
And he's like,
oh, that's a crown. I thought it was a big eyebrow.
It's a crown.
So good. And this scene, just that opening scene is so good when... He's in the chains and he keeps turning.
Yes.
Hang on. Give it a second. I swear, I'm not even moving. It's just doing this on its own.
Like that whole opening scene is this setter for the entire movie where you realize something different is happening.
Yep.
Kind of leads us into the director's chair.
Yeah.
Because Taika is such a huge part of this movie of what makes it Thor Ragnarok.
I mean, just thank goodness for Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think he was a breath of fresh air in the MCU when we needed it, or at least for Thor. I mean, like, Thor, I said this about Captain America, too. If you told me when I was a kid that, like, I'd grow up and be, like loving Thor.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he just wasn't ever my favorite character as a kid.
No.
The thing is, like, even in those first two movies and in Avengers, he's funny.
Yeah.
He's like, only in bit parts. It's like his comedy kept shining through.
Yes.
By that, I mean Chris Hemsworth.
Right.
You know, and like they finally were like, all right, you can
this guy can do comedy.
Yeah.
Like he's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And I think like we said before, Guardians opened the door and kind of made it okay to laugh at some things. And I'm glad that this movie, Ragnarok, goes like full Kirby, crazy, cosmic. you know, like really just like finally realizes like is self-referential is like, okay, this is really ridiculous.
I also
like,
think, let's I just think lean it's funnier than Guardians.
I think so too.
Oh, it definitely absolutely. Is.
And yeah. just having like even Taika, we talk about the director's chair, him as Korg also, even just yeah. like him to be, you know, he provides even exposition while making it funny. Like Thor says, has anyone here fought the Grandmaster's champion? And yeah, Doug has. Hey, Doug, could you come over here? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Doug's dead. And he finds the Grandmaster's champion has perished.
Goodbye, new Doug.
Yeah. Goodbye, new Doug.
See you later, new Doug.
That's so good.
And Doug, what a New Zealand right. name.
Just like the mundane Korg. Earth names is what's yeah. great. You're yeah. just like Doug.
Doug.
Like,
Meek.
Like no one else throughout yeah. all of the Thor world has any Doug. Sort of right. Earth name. Right. But Doug.
Right. That's the one that like they got off a radio signal from Earth and were like, right, oh, yeah. great name.
Well, it's even like Doug. John or like yeah. something like strong.
Paul.
Doug. Right.
Doug.
Nothing biblical. Nothing.
Yeah, no. But yeah, great director. I mean, hope he gets more to do. Like I, like we said, we don't know if this is the last Thor movie. I can't imagine it is.
I can't imagine in Endgame, and maybe look like an asshole when this is, you know, proven true, but like they're not going to kill all the original Avengers.
Yeah.
And I feel like Thor is going to live.
Yeah, they yeah. haven't like spoken at all about this being the end for him.
Right, yeah, know? Yeah, that you've heard none of that.
Or maybe they're trying to catch us off guard.
Plus, there's going to be a Loki TV series.
This is true. We yeah. don't know exactly where within true. Canon it falls. It could be, I mean, they've been alive for, I can't remember the exact
1500.
Age. Is that how many years he said he was alive for Infinity War?
This movie creates too many awesome directions to go. I mean, because right. you have Valkyrie, you have Korg, you have this, like this is really like almost like a reset for the Thor franchise.
Without a doubt, yeah.
You know, like, so I almost see it as like Thor 1, and I just can't see them like being done with Chris Hemsworth.
If anything, I want to bring Darcy back.
Sure.
Yeah, yes. Darcy was, I think,
the best parts yeah. of those first two movies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I would love to see her kind of dropped into this newfound humor and this yeah. newfound levity that comes with Ragnarok and see what happens.
Well, and Infinity War kind of gives you a great opportunity to bring her back because post-snap, she could just, like, Selvig could be gone. Mm-hmm. And, like, she can be, like, the only, like, scientist in that left.
Quote-unquote scientist. Quote,
you know, like, so they have to go to her.
The intern she's sexually harassing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry to hear that Jane dumped you.
She didn't dump me, you know. I dumped her. It's a mutual dumping.
In terms of like Endgame speculation, that is, you know, that's kind of the one of the running things running in my head is like, what characters do they bring back?
Just for like a moment.
Just for
even.
A moment. Because yeah. like, yeah, because if this is really a bookend on the all 22 movies, like, do we see Darcy? You know, do we see Korg, Valkyrie?
I mean, Korg better be there. I feel like people like Darcy, I'm like, you know, it'll be a little gratuitous. I don't need to like, it's already yeah. 3 hours. So if that's like part of it's like just throwing to these old characters, I'm like, you know yeah. what? I got to pee. Let's
I wanna,
keep going.
I want yeah. a Darcy Disney Plus series.
Hmm.
It's like Two Broke Girls, but like, with
but
magic.
Literally with magic. Two Broke Girls, but with magic. I would watch the
what
hell
if,
out of that.
What if Korg has to move in with Darcy? That'd be good.
And then we could have another Thor, like, short.
Yeah.
What does Korg eat?
Rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we both exactly. Well, same like joke. We know, we're like
the
rocks.
Same,
yeah,
in
of course,
the same
yeah.
way that I eat human flesh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Human flesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love pointing out that the way of that Taika went about making kind of, you know, lightheartedly making fun of the first two Thor movies was by that the tragedy of Loki play at the beginning of this movie.
Yes, yeah.
He went in and got all of his buddies to make, like, you know, this like horrible overdramatic Shakespearean kind of play.
I'm a trickster.
And that was his way of nodding to them, but kind of saying, we're done with that.
Yeah.
Now. Well, like, it's time to move on.
It's like mocking them.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
very, you know, lovingly,
yeah,
I'm sure,
yeah, totally.
But mocking it, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's the best way to
How many
about
movies
it.
Do you think Matt Damon's made cameos in?
Too
like
many.
Knowing cameos.
Oh, yeah.
What was
too
he
many.
Just,
king of that?
What was
too
he
many.
Just in recently?
I don't know.
The wall movie.
Warvis.
Where...
Yeah, yeah. Warvis. Warvis.
The Great Wall.
Give us a rundown of Matt Damon cameos in popular culture.
It really depends on your definition of cameo. What I'm clocking for Matt Damon's cameo appearances are Thor Ragnarok, Entourage, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Eurotrip, Deadpool 2, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, House of Lies, Unsane, The Third Wheel, Che, Finding Forrester, Will and Grace, The Bernie Mac Show, Chasing Amy, Jersey Girl, Youth Without Youth, Mystic Pizza, Field of Dreams, The Majestic, Law and Order, Criminal Intent, and Cubed.
So we've already kind of been talking about this a little bit, but I want to get into it more. How does Thor Ragnarok, do you think, in any way tie into Avengers Endgame?
Well, I think we'd need some clarification on what happened to all the Asgardians and Valkyrie and Korg.
Valkyrie especially.
We're now at this point where we have two populations flying in ships.
Yes.
Because end of Captain Marvel, the Skrulls, and we also have the Asgardians. So, like, they're really about displacing giant communities.
Yeah, yeah.
And
exactly.
Families.
But so we'll have to see some kind of, like, eventually, I don't know if it's in Endgame or the future, but, like, you know, what happened at the start of that attack? Because I imagine that Valkyrie and Korg led some kind of party of Asgardians away.
Right.
Or, like, retreated. And it's just where did they go?
It was some, you know, great battle that occurred between that first end credit in Thor Ragnarok, where the ship kind of bears down on them. And that's the opening scene of Avengers Infinity War, is probably however long that battle took between that end credit and when Thanos is basically won at that point.
Yeah. Well, it's also Loki dies, but not from being snapped.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if he comes back or what. If they turn back time, maybe they turn it back. Like, let's do an extra few days before.
A lot of this has been talked about in other podcasts, but, like, you know, it obviously has to be some kind of resetting and, like, time travel. Like, we're going to put pieces back that are already gone.
That are important.
Loki. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy. There's so much that happens, I guess, pre-Infinity War that happens off screen that we eventually have to see. Like, I think Thanos gets, the purple stone.
The power stone.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's just kind of summed up.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember who says it, but they have the one-off line of, oh, yeah, he was just on Xandar.
Yeah, so he must have destroyed Xandar, which actually makes a really good opening for, like, if they ever do a future Nova film.
Which would be awesome.
Like, open up the
really
movie
good.
With a flashback of Thanos taking Xandar.
What a good superhero origin story.
Yeah. And then it's like, then he's the last Nova Corp. And that makes perfect sense, right?
Oh, you just figured out the future of the MCU.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's...
Whatever gets John C. Reilly in.
Yes.
Bring him back.
Bring back John C. Reilly.
I watched Stan and Ollie last night. Pretty good.
Oh, is it? Good to know.
All right.
Good to know.
Very good.
But in terms of other speculation for Endgame, I don't know if necessarily there's a lot in this movie that informs what happens other than finding out what happens to a lot of characters from the opening of Infinity War.
Yeah, who we, you know... A few of whom we just got to meet in Ragnarok for the first time. I remember after Infinity War came out and everyone started realizing, wait, where's Valkyrie?
Yeah.
No one said anything about her. No one said, like, no one has implied that she's dead or alive or whatever. Are we supposed to think she's dead? And everyone was kind of freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when all of the posters for Endgame came out, you know, the dead ones were in black and white and she was in color, and Valkyrie was in color, and everyone said, oh my God, she's alive, where is she?
Yeah.
So that kind of, to me, that implies that we're going to get to see her.
I'm glad you called that out. That's an excellent point. Yeah, she's got to be in it now. She's in the poster.
She's in the movie.
Done.
That's how it works.
Yep.
So, Warvis, where does Thor Ragnarok fall in Sci-Fi Wire's official MCU ranking?
In Sci-Fi Wire's official ranking of the MCU, Thor Ragnarok ranks number 5 out of 21.
What? 5? There's not 4 better movies.
Okay. What is... I know I've asked this literally every single time because I never agree with the ranking. What is ahead of Thor Ragnarok other than Captain America Civil War? I mean, Captain America The Winter Soldier.
The movies that rank ahead of Thor Ragnarok in Sci-Fi Wire's official ranking of the MCU are Guardians of the Galaxy at number 4, The Avengers Infinity War at number 3, Iron Man 1 at number 2, and Black Panther at number 1.
I totally agree. It's so hard. I say this every podcast, too. It's like you can't rank these movies because there's so many that I would put on, like, the same level.
And they're,
like,
so different, too, that it's I know that they fall within the same thing, and technically you should be able to rank them, but I can't.
Yeah.
No, I can't compare, like, Thor Ragnarok and, like, Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Like, there's such
different... Thor Ragnarok's better than Iron Man 2.
But also, okay. I think the ranking's skewed, too, because a lot of, you know, you look at our ranking, and it's, like, it's very top-heavy with, like, the later Marvel movies, so people have more
later.
No, that's what I'm saying, but Iron Man makes the top 5, and
there's no way we can justify this, so let's just move past it. So I'm getting angry.
Tweet at Jordan your thoughts on this, please.
I'm not open to changing mine.
He's not open to discussion about this. Neither am I. I'm gonna remain angry. I'm not gonna sleep tonight.
The ranking,
it is.
I'll probably say horrible things about it on the next episode, The Fandophiles.
Great. Where you can subscribe to on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, great. Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen to The Phantom Files.
Great. Nice plug.
Final thoughts for our Thor Ragnarok chat?
Yeah, it should be number 5.
Yep.
And
I will say, I mean, it's just this whole podcast has been a love fest. It's clear that this is just a good movie. You know, there's really nothing,
unquestionably.
It's unquestionable. Yeah. I have nothing bad to say about
to
this movie.
Some of our colleagues.
Yeah, sure. Well, they're not here, are they? So, suck it.
Snapped.
Wow.
So, if you enjoyed this, you can follow along with Sci-Fi Wire's 22 Days of Marvel as we come in tomorrow for Black Panther.
Wakanda Forever.
A fantastic movie. Definitely the lead up between Thor Ragnarok and Black Panther, just like a couple of really good solid movies back.
This was since Ragnarok, they're firing on all cylinders.
Truly.
You know, it's like every movie since Ragnarok has been just
knocking it
massive
out of the park.
Success.
You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you just listen to this one, wherever you listen to podcasts on the regular. Thanks for listening.